Manuscript Releases, Volume 1, Mr. Number 56. Compilation on Objectives of Our Medical Work and the College of Medical Evangelists. The work of advocating the principles of health reform is not to be a haphazard work. It is a work which is deep and broad and high, an essential work, the credentials of which are its practical workings. Because we are health reformers, we are not to make a raid upon people's habits and practices. This is striking too directly at the gods they worship. Instead, we are to offer them something better. Why have we established health reform institutions? That we may give people a practical demonstration of the principles we advocate. The heavenly angels are intensely interested in those who are fighting the good fight of faith. Our Savior is watching earnestly the warfare between good and evil agencies. Satan is working constantly to bring an interest that will so absorb men's minds that they will lose eternity out of their reckoning. Those in high places are so deeply taken up with that which concerns common, worldly enterprises that they have no sense of their spiritual needs. For this reason, the Lord has directed the establishment of institutions upon a plan entirely different from that followed by the world. It is God's will that sanitariums shall be erected. These institutions are to be conducted on gospel principles. The gospel is to give character to every sanitarium that shall be established among Seventh-day Adventists. Every sanitarium established among Seventh-day Adventists should be made a Bethel. Those who are connected with this branch of the work should be consecrated to God. The light upon health reform must be given to the world. Educate, 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 in the sanitarium and out of it. Lead all with whom you come in contact to think of Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Seventh-day Adventists have a special work to do in building sanitariums in our world as necessity demands. These buildings are to be small or large, as is appropriate to the situation and the surrounding circumstances. Our work is to be aggressive, and is to belt the world. The work of the people of God is to enlighten the world, in accordance with the directions given in the 58th chapter of Isaiah. Here is presented the plan of work which is to be carried on in every place where the truth takes hold of minds and hearts. In connection with the proclamation of the message is to be done the work of relieving families who are in distress. Those who take their position on the Lord's side are to see in Seventh-day Adventists the warm-hearted, self-denying, self-sacrificing people, who cheerfully and gladly minister to the needy. Especially are those who suffer because they have had moral courage to accept the truth, to be helped. Those who are cast out are to receive attention. But the work of providing for all the depraved, all the drunkards, and all the prostitutes has not and never will be given by the Lord to Seventh-day Adventists. God has given direction that sanitariums ought to be established in different places. These institutions are to be His agencies for reaching a class of people that nothing else will reach. In these instrumentalities, the light of truth is to burn brightly. The sanitarium is to be the Lord's memorial, a witness to the efficacy of the truth. Those who come to the institution are to see that in it the fear of the Lord is known to be the beginning of wisdom. When the banner of truth is no longer the honored, respected banner of the institution, the Lord will withdraw from the institution His keeping power. The work to be done by our sanitariums is to labor for the salvation of the men and women who come for treatment. To bring men and women to a belief of the truth is the work which is to be done by all our institutions. If this cannot be done in our sanitariums, why should we be at the expense of erecting them? As God's messenger, I am to say to our people that we are not to encourage our youth to go to Battle Creek to receive an education. Fathers, mothers, the souls of your children are precious, and the warnings God has given that young men and young women should not be drawn to Battle Creek has now twice as much force as it had in the past. There are schools out of and away from Battle Creek that are in far less danger of losing their respect for the testimonies that have been coming to the people of God for the past half century. Parents, your children had better remain at home than to mingle with a mass of people who do not believe the truth. The education they receive in such a place will be so mingled with sentiments represented as wood, hay, and stubble that the truth will lose its force upon their minds at a time when they need to have the truth confirmed. The Lord will open, yes, He is opening ways whereby your children can be given an education in medical missionary lines without endangering their souls. If the preparations in these places are not as complete as they are at Battle Creek, they can do as much as was done when the work was first started at Battle Creek. We did not then have provision for sending out fully equipped physicians. In a short time we shall have facilities for giving the necessary requirements. Suppose that for a time the students cannot be sent out as fully accredited physicians. They can work in connection with other physicians, and if they follow the Lord's guiding, such valuable opportunities will present themselves that they will gain a better experience perhaps than if they had gone out with a diploma. It is the man's real value that will give him standing room and influence. The nurse or physician who works with the Lord Jesus will gain success. Read the history of the children of Israel as given in the book of Exodus, and let each soul place himself fully on the Lord's side. The experience of the Israelites is to be considered by the people of God living in these last days. There are many in our world who are slaves to intemperate habits, which are destroying soul and body. It is God's purpose that in our sanitarium such ones shall learn a better way of living. Under the influence of Bible truth, many will be won to Christ. The third angel's message is to be carried to all parts of the world. Our sanitariums are one of the means by which truth is to be brought to those who know it not. We must reach the people where they are. In the highways and the byways, the call to the supper is to be given. All must hear the invitation to the banquet prepared for them at infinite cost. As unbelievers are brought under the influence of truth, angels of God will impress their hearts. The great reason why we have sanitariums is that these institutions may be agencies in bringing men and women to a position where they may be numbered among those who shall someday eat of the leaves of the tree of life, which are for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Revelation 22 verse 3. Our sanitariums are established as institutions where patients and helpers may serve God. We desire to encourage as many as possible to act their part individually in living healthfully. We desire to encourage the sick to discard the use of drugs, and to substitute the simple remedies provided by God, as they are found in water, in pure air, in exercise, and in general hygiene. To our sanitariums has been given the work of reaching the higher classes. This work is to be done, not by consorting with them, and providing entertainments for them, but by revealing the power of the truth to transform the character. Every human being who is sanctified through a belief of the truth becomes God's light-bearer to the world, his helping hand for the recovering of souls from transgression. He is God's medical missionary. We are to learn from Christ the science of soul-saving. He is the mighty healer. In our work of preaching the gospel, we are to establish small sanitariums in many places. Sanitarium work is one very successful means of bringing the message of salvation through Christ to the attention of a large class of people who can be reached in no other way. Those from the higher walks of life will come to our sanitariums for treatment, and when they go away, they will tell others of the benefits they have received. Thus others will be induced to go. It is God's design that our sanitariums shall act an important part in giving the message of Christ soon coming to those in the highways and byways. In new fields, where the work of God has yet to be established, medical missionary work is to be done. This work removes prejudice and prepares the way for the proclamation of the third angel's message. It is the means by which doors are opened for the entrance of the special truths for this time. Medical missionary work and the gospel are one. If united, they make a complete whole. God's purpose in giving the third angel's message to the world is to prepare a people to stand true to him during the investigative judgment. This is the purpose for which we establish and maintain our publishing houses, our schools, our sanitariums, hygienic restaurants, treatment rooms, and food factories. This is our purpose in carrying forward every line of work in the cause. The sanitariums that shall be established are to be God's memorials, agencies in the conversion of many souls. Our sanitariums have been established for the purpose of preparing a people for the second coming of our Lord and Savior. The whole world is the Lord's vineyard, and he would have every part of it worked. Those who have been placed as stewards of the Lord's goods should see that everything is managed in such a way as to bring the Lord the greatest revenue. A wise steward will not select a few portions of the vineyard and absorb in them the means which God has intended for the entire field. He will open the eyes of his understanding to see the necessity of equalizing the work, that beauty and harmony and solidity may be seen in every part. It is the spirit of selfishness, said the teacher who was giving us instruction, which leads men to absorb everything in that work which is under their own supervision, that their portion of the field may be enriched to the neglect of other portions. This is a species of selfishness which many do not discern. Large accumulations are drawn to one section of the world as though that were the only part which the householder designs to have worked. God designs that not one thread of selfishness shall be woven into his work. Every man's work is to be done with reference to his fellow laborers, for all have their appointed work. The vineyard must be cultivated, vines must be planted, that crops may be gathered. To every man is not committed the same task, and the work in the different lines must be done in unselfishness. The minds of the workers are first to be molded by God through his appointed agencies. The word of the Lord is to be communicated to men, to supply their minds with suggestions and methods for working the field in such a way as to present to God the very best returns from all parts of his vineyard. The Lord sees that things are swaying heavily in medical lines, while the work in other branches is calculated to give wrong impressions which will not easily be effaced from the mind. The so-called medical missionary work gathers into the net both good and bad, and the larger proportion of these will not stand as overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. It is very necessary that we keep before the degraded the law of God as the standard of righteousness. Holiness unto the Lord must be our standard, else the work of rescuing this class will lower their ideas of what God requires in practical character building. There can be no such thing as a cheap class of Christians who, like Moab, keep their scent in themselves, because they have not changed from vessel to vessel, from character to character. The time has come for us to have a decided understanding of what shall be comprehended in medical missionary work, what shall go forth by pen or voice to be discredited, and what to be exalted. As the train of human reasoning is heard, it will be made apparent that the character must be determined by the inward work of grace upon the heart. If the law of God is written in the heart, men will prove the excellence of their resolutions. Their conduct will be after the divine similitude. No advice of sanction is given in the word of God to those who believe the third angel's message to lead them to suppose that they can draw apart. This you may settle with yourselves forever. It is the devisings of unsanctified minds that would encourage a state of disunion. The sophistry of men may appear right in their own eyes, but it is not truth and righteousness. The children of God constitute one united whole in Christ, who presents his cross as the center of attraction. All who believe are one in him. Human feelings will lead men to take the work into their own hands, and the building thus becomes disproportionate. The Lord therefore employs a variety of gifts to make the building symmetrical. Not one feature of the truth is to be hidden or made of little account. God cannot be glorified unless the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Ephesians 2 verse 21. A great subject is here comprehended, and those who understand the truth for this time must take heed how they hear and how they build and educate others to practice. I have been shown that there was too much reaching out in medical missionary lines, that this work was swelling to such large proportions, that there was danger of making the General Conference bankrupt, as it almost is now. Unwise management has been manifested by those who have erected school buildings and sanitariums, when the General Conference was already involved many thousands of dollars in debt. Had these men possessed sanctified eyesight, they would have seen that the money used in these enterprises was needed in foreign fields. These matters call for careful consideration. There are fields all white to the harvest, and yet the standard of truth has never been lifted in them, although the need has been kept before the people. The vineyard takes in the whole world, and every part of it is to be worked. God's workers must view matters sensibly, and with eyes anointed with heavenly ointment see things afar off in destitute fields as well as in America. When they do this, they will be impressed with the work that is needed to be done. The medical missionary work is just as much a necessity in this part of the world as it is in America. If we had one quarter of the money here, Australia, that you have had to handle in Battle Creek, we could place those who have received an education in medical lines where they could work to good advantage. The General Conference, at the solicitations of Dr. Kellogg and A. R. Henry, established an institution in __, which cost $80,000. $20,000 would have erected a sanitarium here, and the brethren in this field would have given to the extent of their ability to furnish the building. This would have placed us several years in advance of where we now stand. God sees all this. The Lord does not work with partiality. There is a work to be done in Australia which you have neglected in order to multiply your advantages in America. God says to you in America, bind about your spreading interests. Share your facilities with those who need your help in establishing the work in the needy portions of the vineyard. This is the message God gives me for you who are pushing the work so heavily in one line to the neglect of other fields which stand ready to be worked. There are not funds enough among Seventh-day Adventists to sustain so large a work. The workers in other portions of the world need the means that they may prepare to work still in other parts. It is God's design that those fields which have abundant facilities shall share their advantages with more needy fields. This is the principle ever to be observed in all our institutions. God requires that there shall be less planning and devising for buildings in America and in Battle Creek, and that the means shall flow into fields where there is nothing to rely upon, where the work is carried on under great disadvantages for want of facilities. But the spirit of selfishness has been manifested in centralizing so much. Into the fields where there is already an abundance of facilities, the workers have gathered from every possible resource. Again, I would say to those who have influence, do the work that has been neglected. If the mammoth sanitarium at Battle Creek was divided and subdivided, and its strength put in different parts of the vineyard, where there is nothing to represent the truth, the Lord would be much better pleased. He does not endorse the sentiment and methods that have withheld means from a country so greatly in need of help as Australia is. There are able men, men of experience, on the ground, but they cannot accomplish one half of what they could accomplish if the sanitarium were erected and ready for patients. A work that takes much money to keep it in operation has been allowed to consume the means that God designed should be used in opening new fields and planting the standard in new territory, in the unworked parts of his vineyard. Dr. Kellogg, you have been pouring so much money into one channel that the work in new fields has been hindered. The Lord did not tell you to take upon you the burden that you have taken, a burden that has prevented your doing a work that needed your attention. The determination to do a work that has been neglected, a work that all the church should have united in doing, led you at first to take this burden. But you have gone too far. You have made this work the whole body, instead of only the arm and hand of the body, and misapplied your forces. For the last 50 years the Lord has given me instruction as to how his work should be carried forward. Camp meetings and tent meetings are to be held, and meeting houses are to be erected. Special efforts are to be made to reach the higher classes. Not all our means and talent are to be spent in the effort to reach those in the lowest depths of degradation. The enemy would be pleased with this class of work, because the representation would in no case be favorable to the truth. God does not design that his work should be thus carried forward. Money and talent are thus consumed with so little being produced. 1/20th part of the means thus consumed, used where it should have been, would have set men and women at work in God's appointed way, and the truth would have reached people in the darkness of error who are calling and praying for light, people who are hungering and thirsting for the bread of life and the water of salvation. Shall these people be left out of our plans? Shall all our means and all our efforts be expended for a class from which very few will be brought into the truth? We cannot depend on converts from this class to represent the people of God as a wise, noble people. Very few of them will become light-bearers to the world. God does not choose them as men of dependence. Some of them will become sons and daughters of God, but the number saved will be small in comparison with the efforts put forth. Unless care is taken, the work of God will be bound up just as Satan will be pleased to have it bound up. Were all our means spent in labor for the lawless, depraved, corrupted class, where would be the work that should be done to bring into the truth a class of people who would properly represent the truth for this time? How could we show that we are a chosen, God-fearing people, who are loyal to God's commandments? The Lord has a work to be done for rich and poor. There are honest souls to be reached who have not so corrupted body, soul, and spirit that there is no soundness in them. In Revelation, the messages that are to be given to the world are plainly stated. When the Lord's servants fail, as they will, to gain admission to the churches, they are to reach the people by holding camp meetings and by distributing our literature. The truth for this time is to shine forth in clear, steady rays. Those who are of the household of faith come first, not the depraved, polluted men, who have destroyed themselves, filling soul and body with iniquity, as did the antediluvians, and as did the inhabitants of Sodom. Yet for these Dr. Kellogg has labored, while those with whom he should have linked up in perfect harmony he has treated as offensive. My brother, over and over again I have written you this. Why, my dear brother, have you refused to receive or hear the word of the Lord? Why have you pressed on in the face of the warnings that God has given? You have blanketed the third angel's message, until to many it has lost its significance. I must caution you to restrain the influence you may exert in a wrong direction, under the name of the medical missionary work. Be careful lest this work become the body, rather than the arm of the body. Your conclusions must be guarded. Your plans in any one line must not become all-absorbing. Your large plans for rescuing the unfortunate will gather to you responsibilities which you will be unable to carry. You make desperate efforts to push forward a line of work which will make which is already making, I may say, the medical missionary work the all of the gospel. The men in the ministry are demerit, while medical missionary enterprises are extolled. The Lord has instructed me to tell you that we must consider the work in all its bearings, that it may be proportionate, and not one-sided. Many men are being drawn into the medical missionary work who should be engaged in the ministry. My brother, you need to call a halt. God has given you a work to do. He has honored you by placing you in the position which you now hold, and uniting with you men who will cooperate with you in the interests of that line of work for which the sanitarium was brought into existence. This institution has a work to perform as the Lord's appointed agency, and God is working with and through you. He designs that this work of health reform shall be an entering wedge, to prepare the way for the saving truth for this time, the proclamation of the third angel's message. But it is not to eclipse that message, or hinder its designed success, for then you work against truth. This message is the last warning to be given to a fallen world. The medical missionary work is to occupy its rightful place, as it ever should have done, in every church in our land. The sanitarium was brought into existence to call men to a knowledge of the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom he has sent, to educate as Christ himself was directed, teaching them the laws of the kingdom of God. This is, and always will be, the only true higher education. True medical missionary work will exalt every agency that God has set in the church to preach the gospel, for this was the work of him who made man, and lent him talents to use, an intellect to originate, a heart to be the seat of his throne, affections to flow out in blessing all with whom he shall come in contact, a conscience to convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, because he is worked by the Holy Spirit of God. My brother, I tell you in the name of the Lord that the medical missionary work is to be the arm, and not the body. The idolatrous world must have the message. I have been shown that many who are now being educated in medical lines should be giving the last warning to the world. God will be the instructor of his workers. The Church of Christ is very precious in his sight. It is the case which contains his jewels, the fold which encloses his flock. He places his people in church capacity, and makes them responsible for the medical missionary work which should be done. They are to minister to the sick and the needy. Many have chosen to work in medical missionary lines to the neglect of other work. Appeals have been made for medical missionary workers, and they have considered this a call from God, and have thought that it would be wicked for them to refuse to go. But God does not design that this work shall become all-absorbing. There is a great work to be accomplished in our camp meetings, where all, rich and poor, educated and ignorant, are to hear the message of warning. At this time, SDA camp meetings were largely evangelistic, drawing a large non-Adventist attendance. A. L. White. Every child of God should have sanctified judgment to consider the work as a whole and the relation of each part to the other. We are not to build the tower without first considering what it will cost, and what effect the expenditure will have on other portions of the field. This large planning is closing the way for the erection of necessary buildings in other places. It is not as though we as a people had hoarded up wealth, for we have been constantly drawn upon, and must continue to impart. The immense buildings which have been reared by the people in Battle Creek and other places bear witness against them, for while they have every facility, other portions of the Lord's vineyard lie barren and desolate. Some places must be centers, in which workers can be prepared for the different fields. We must have centers for the education of the youth. This will require more facilities than may be needed in other places. But in every undertaking let us count the costs. I have been called to behold things nigh and afar off, and then at the sight my head is dizzy, and my heart sick. God has not ordered things as they now stand. Are we not too fond of doing, when God would have us stand as minute men, watching and praying, prepared to do what he commanded through consecrated agencies? Men who want to do something for God say, "We will do this or that," and so a line is marked out for all to follow. Thus selfishness is growing all the time. Man is grasping all the advantages possible, bringing in all the material he can obtain for the work he wants to do, while he deprives his fellow workers of that which they need. Let not the men in responsible positions grow selfish and ambitious to accumulate buildings in one locality. The command is given, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Philippians 2 verse 4. If men would work in Christ's lines, they must yoke up with him in meekness and lowliness of heart, pleading earnestly, Lord, teach me thy way. What is thy purpose and will? And asking at every step, am I trying to live for God or for myself? Work we must, and work cheerfully. We often neglect to work at the very time when our help is most needed, and when a prompt attendance to duty would bring glory to God. Men interpose self between God and the work he could have done. My brethren, cut away from your large plans for any one place, and give a portion of your facilities to the more destitute fields. Consider that the Lord is impartial in all his work. If you will place your mind where God can come in and control, if you will prepare him a place and give him an opportunity to work, currents of life and truth will flow to all the barren places of the earth. Men bring upon themselves great and unceasing responsibility, and tax both brain and body, in seeking to carry the many plans they have devised. This is one of the greatest disadvantages we have to meet, and one the solving of which will wear out the human energies. Activity is needed in God's cause, but let not this talent be misdirected. When men learn to be servants of Jesus Christ, they will understand that in every church, workers are to be set to work to take the oversight of things. Pastors and teachers are to work intelligently in their lines, instructing church members how to work in medical missionary lines. When the professed followers of Christ have an indwelling Savior, they will be found doing as Christ did. They will have no opportunity to rust through inaction. They will have enough to do, and the work which they do under the auspices of the church will be their greatest means of communicating light. The man who is working according to God's plan will pray, let it be known this day in my work for suffering humanity that there is a God in Israel, and that I am thy servant. Let it be seen that I am working not according to my own impulse and wisdom, but according to thy word. When man places himself in this attitude, and realizes that he is working out God's plan, and that God is working out his plan through him, he is in possession of divine power, which knows nothing of defeat. All the power of counteragencies is of no more account than the chaff of the threshing floor. We must recognize God's absolute ownership of us. Our mind, our talents, our skill and money are to be put to the best use to advance his work, that his character may be revealed in clear lines in every part of the world. God has given to every man his work, and he does not excuse those in high positions who get out of their place, and through some neglect get their work into a tangle. Let each man stand at his post of duty, and keep in right relation to God. There is important work to be done, and no man is to neglect his work in order to take hold of the work which belongs to another. God is not honored by such a course. There are some workers who feel superior in wisdom. They feel that they do not need to seek counsel from God. Nor do they consider whether their fellow workers have facilities with which to work. God needs all-sighted men, men who will keep the windows of their soul heavenward, and let his light shine into chambers of the mind. The Lord has a large interest in his servants, and especially in those who are lowly in heart. God expects every man to be faithful in his stewardship. Self is not to be glorified. The man who is faithful to his trust will not stop to consider if he is going to be honored by any course of action, but will ask, will God be honored? His soul will be filled with a holy desire to see God magnified. When something tries his patience, he will pray, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Psalm 62 verse 5. We are very eager to have our work present a good appearance, and if our plans and methods receive approbation, we are satisfied. If they languish, we groan in spirit. We cannot see afar off. The water must run freely in our pools, if other pools have to go dry as the hills of Gilboa. It is not easy for us to remember that the great fountain is from God. God will show us many ways in which we can work. Sometimes matters will so shape themselves that we cannot doubt they are of God. At others they will run contrary to our ideas and feelings. The Lord surprises us sometimes by revealing our duty in lines altogether different from what we have planned for, and we declare, it is not so. This is untrue, but nevertheless it is true to the letter, and the message will not come to men again until they can discern the work of God. When they are ready to see and comprehend, the Lord will speak to them again. If we would have divine supplies, if we would keep step with the divine plan, we must move under divine guidance. The Lord wants us to yield to His molding, to be emptied of self and surrendered to God, that Christ may pervade the soul. The fire can only burn when we purify the altar according to the Word of God. It would not be sensible or right that all the strength of the body should go into a hand. Neither would it be right for all the strength of the working agencies in the cause of the Lord to be used in the medical missionary work. The ministry of the Word must be sustained, and there must be unity in the movements of the whole body, all parts united in carrying out God's plan for the advancement of His work. All the members of the body are to be the Lord's working agencies, every part joined harmoniously with every other part. 25 years ago, the Lord revealed to me that the best way in which to reach the higher classes is through our sanitariums. These institutions are to be located away from the cities, and are to be surrounded with land enough to enable fruit and produce to be grown. In the sanitarium which we are about to erect in New South Wales, provision must be made for all classes. The accommodation and treatment must be such that patients of the higher class will be attracted to the institution. Rooms must be fitted up for the use of those who are willing to pay a liberal price. Rational methods of treatment must be followed. The patients must not be given alcohol, tea, coffee, or drugs, for these always leave traces of evil behind them. By their stay at the sanitarium, the patients are to become acquainted with Seventh-day Adventists and the reasons of their faith. Physicians and nurses are to manifest a deep interest in the physical sufferings of those to whom they minister. As efforts are made to remove suffering and disease, the hearts of the patients will be softened. Every physician should be a Christian. In Christ's stead, he is to stay by the suffering one, ministering to the needs of the sin-sick soul as well as to the needs of the diseased body. To us as a people, God has given advanced light, and we are to seek to gain access to souls, that we may give them this truth. As the physicians and nurses in our sanitariums hold out to the patients the hope of restoration to physical health, they are also to present the blessed hope of the gospel, the wonderful comfort to be found in the mighty healer, who can cure the leprosy of the soul. Thus hearts will be reached, and he who gives health to the body will speak peace to the soul. The life giver will fill the heart with a joy that will work miraculously. The sanitarium will be a memorial for God, if it is conducted in all lines as it should be. Many who come to the sanitarium will receive their impression of the truth, as did Sister Henry. She was one of God's precious ones, and through your skill which has been given you of God, His truth was magnified. This is as it should be. All the influence you can give to the sanitarium is none too much. The medical missionary work might better be named the missionary health restoration work. Beware lest we lose our bearings. Conformity to the world is causing many of our people to lose their bearings. I feel deeply over this matter, because it is continually kept before me by the Lord. For many years it has been presented to me again and again that a worldly policy has been coming into the management of many of our institutions. And when I read the published testimonies that were given in the early 70s and even before that time, I am surprised to see how clearly our dangers in this matter have been pointed out, and how plainly the right way has been outlined from the beginning. But the way, so plainly specified, has not been followed. Men act as if counsels had never been given, and yet we expect the Lord to uplift us and to do great things for us. True, He will help us if we so relate ourselves to Him that He can, but He will not serve with us while we are weaving threads of selfishness into the web. There is a sentiment among our people, opposed by some, it is true, but held by many, that each one connected with God's service may be sharp, keen, and designing, in order to make the best possible showing, indicating that his line of work is a success. Those who continue to hold to this idea will be bitterly disappointed when at the judgment they find that they have no place in the kingdom of God. False principles will never prevail in heaven. Not one thread of selfishness is to be brought into any part of God's service in his work upon the earth. A worldly policy has been coming into the management of our institutions. It nearly spoiled our publishing house in Battle Creek. God was not made first and last and best in everything. Human judgment, human ideas, were taking the lead and control of everything. God is not pleased with those who are ambitious of being regarded as shrewd men in the estimation of the world. Nevertheless, this ambition is cherished by not a few men of responsibility in our ranks. God's work should mean a great deal more to us than it does. It is more important than we have supposed. Men in positions of responsibility who in any way deviate from Bible principles are divorcing themselves from God. We must be determined not to permit a worldly policy to be brought into our work. The servants of the living God and the servants of Satan are to be as distinct from one another as light is from darkness. The line of demarcation between them must be unmistakable. If ever there was a time when those who have a knowledge of present truth should find their bearings, it is the present time. Although no one is to move independently of his brethren, yet each one must gain a knowledge of his own condition, his exact bearings. The question that each one should ask himself is, what is my relation to God? It is conformity to the world that is causing our people to lose their bearings. The perversion of right principles has not been brought about suddenly. The angel of the Lord presented this matter to me in symbols. It seemed as if a thief were stealthily moving closer and still closer, and gradually but surely stealing away the identity of God's work, by leading our brethren to conform to worldly policies. The mind of man has taken the place that rightfully belongs to God. Whatever position a man may hold, however exalted he may be, he should act as Christ would were he in his place. In every stroke of work that he performs, in his words, and in his character, he should be Christ-like. The Lord calls for a reformation. In every place where believers have adopted worldly principles, he desires a voice of warning to be raised. Cry aloud, he says. Spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Isaiah 58 verse 1. As a people and as individuals, we must put away the erroneous principles and ambitious projects which lead us to embrace so much within a narrow compass. God desires us to learn to walk firmly and solidly, ever advancing in his way. He desires us to erect every building with reference to the needs of other places that must sometime have similar advantages. In no respect is God's work to be circumscribed by man-made restrictions. Many of the ambitious plans and policies that have been made are not endorsed by him. He is no party to keeping many advantages in one place. He desires every institution established to stand ready to help establish the next institution that is needed. From many minds, a realization of the times in which we are living is as far away as is heaven from the earth. It seems that their duty to prepare to meet a soon coming Savior is entirely forgotten. God wants us to come to our senses. He wants us to act like rational beings, who are living on the borders of the eternal world. Remember that in preparing yourselves for the heavenly kingdom, you are preparing others. The scriptures say, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. Hebrews 12 verse 13. Many are weak in moral power. Many have not had the privileges and the training that we have had. Many have never had opportunity to receive instruction. Precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, and there a little. Isaiah 28 verses 10 and 13. God lays heavy responsibilities upon those who have had such instruction. They ought to spend much time in prayer. In the place of feeling that their judgment is supreme, they ought to feel terribly afraid. Instead of gathering to themselves all the burdens that they can possibly grasp, which give them no time to pray, no time to meditate on their own spiritual condition, they should spend much time in communion with their Maker. God's cause is of so much consequence to him, that of every one who claims to be his steward he requires a correct representation of his character. None but those who walk circumspectly before him are qualified for stewardship. He works with those who properly represent his character. Through them his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. Let us offer daily the prayer that Christ taught his disciples to pray, and then live our prayer during the day. To practice this prayer is the whole duty of man. Its principles lie at the foundation of the spring of all right action. Those who carry out every phase of these principles will become sensible men, men whose minds God himself can control and guide. The beginnings of medical work in Southern California. I have been unable to sleep after 11:30 at night. Many things, in figures and symbols, are passing before me. There are sanitariums in running order near Los Angeles. At one place there is an occupied building, and there are fruit trees on the sanitarium grounds. In this institution, outside the city, there is much activity. As in the vision of the night I saw the grounds, I said, O ye of little faith, you have lost time. There were sick in wheelchairs. There were some patients to whom the physicians had given a prescription to spend all their time outdoors during pleasant weather in order to regain health. While speaking, I said, we must have sanitariums in favored places in different localities. This is God's plan. He has ordained the medical missionary work as a means of saving souls, and that which we see about us is a symbol of the work before us. We are to awaken our churches to engage interestedly in God's work, and to carry forward this branch, the medical missionary work. Physicians were interested in these words, and one said, as he extended his arms and waved them back and forth, "Is not this better than drugs? Aches and pains have left you without the use of medicine." On the grounds that I saw in this vision of the night, there were shade trees, the boughs of which were hung in such a way that they formed leafy canopies somewhat the shape of tents. The sick were delighted. While some were working for diversion, others were singing. There was no dissatisfaction. We need now to make every dollar count in selecting a site for a sanitarium near Los Angeles, and beginning work. We have been in need of men of sound judgment, men with ability to count the cost and to plan wisely. The Lord would have men walk humbly before Him. It would be a mistake for us to purchase or erect large buildings in the cities of Southern California for sanitarium work, and those who see advantages in doing this are not moving understandingly. A great work is to be done in preparing these cities to hear the gospel message. But this work is not to be done by fitting up in them large buildings for the carrying forward of some wonderful enterprise. Could not approve plans for building in Los Angeles. With the light that I have had in regard to sanitariums where the sick are to be treated, I cannot give one word of counsel about huddling in the city. I cannot do it myself, and yet it may look very different to others. But with the light that I have, I could not advise placing a building in the city. You are out of the city, I know. You are out at one side. That changes the proposition somewhat. But further than that, I could not say. I could not give you any advice. You will have to arrange that among yourselves, because I could not give advice to build a sanitarium in any city. I could not do it, because it has been so distinctly laid before me that when a sanitarium is built, it must be located where it can accomplish the end in view, the object for which it is established. The object that we have in view is not to get money, particularly it is to get souls, to take those who are suffering with disease, and place them in the best position possible for the recovery of health. We have no confidence in drug medication. God wants us to be out where we can have the advantages of nature in every respect, in the air and in the scenery. If we can get a place that is completed or partially finished, that will be better than to put up a large building just now, when we know that the end is near, and every city is to be turned upside down every way. There will be confusion in every city. Everything that can be shaken is to be shaken, and we do not know what will come next. The judgments will be according to the wickedness of the people and the light of truth that they have had. If they have had the truth, according to that light will be the punishment. Christ pronounced his woes on the cities that had had most of his instruction. That is why I am so afraid of their putting up a great building in Battle Creek, or in any place where the truth has been known for years. To receive from the people that have not accepted the truth, money to help build up the sanitarium, I can see no light in it. Here you may say, the light has not been shining so long. No, it has not, but still the word has come that sanitariums should be located out of the cities. God has a purpose in that. He told the children of Israel that when the plagues should come they must go out of the Egyptians' houses into their own houses, for if they were found mingled with the Egyptians, they would be destroyed with them. They must be a separate people. So our institutions should have every advantage possible, not as far as grand buildings are concerned, but in location. The buildings are not half as much consequence as the space and grounds around a sanitarium. It is the sanitarium that should have the fruits, the flowers, every advantage to call out, "Well, I have written it. You have had it. It is just as forcible now as when I wrote it." I see nothing to change my mind in regard to Los Angeles on these points. The leaders in the sanitarium have mingled with unbelievers, admitting them to their councils, more or less. But it is like going to work with their eyes shut. They lack the discernment to see what is going to break upon us at any time. There is a spirit of desperation, of war and bloodshed, and that spirit will increase until the very close of time. Just as soon as the people of God are sealed in their foreheads, it is not any seal or mark that can be seen, but a settling into the truth, both intellectually and spiritually, so they cannot be moved. Just as soon as God's people are sealed and prepared for the shaking, it will come. Indeed, it has begun already. The judgments of God are now upon the land, to give us warning, that we may know what is coming. The Lord has at no time guided in the large plans that have been laid for buildings in Los Angeles. He has given light as to how we should move, and yet movements have been made that are contrary to the light and instruction given. The complete plan in regard to the purchase of the Hill Street property was not laid before me till my last visit to Los Angeles. I was then taken to see this property, and as I walked up the hill in front of it, I heard distinctly a voice that I well know. Had this voice said, "This is the right place for God's people to purchase," I should have been greatly astonished. But it said, "Encourage no settlement here of any description. God forbids. My people must get away from such surroundings. This place is a Sodom for wickedness. The place where my institutions are established must be altogether different. Leave the cities, and like Enoch come from your retirement to warn the people of the cities." The words were spoken. The divine hand is not guiding in the steps that have been taken in regard to this property. The spiritual vision of men has been darkened. Plans have been made that the Lord has not inspired. I was afterward instructed that the whole matter was inspired by human wisdom. Men have followed their own wisdom, which is foolishness with God, and which, if they continue to follow it, will lead to results that they do not now see. The spiritual eyesight has been blinded. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Matthew 6 verse 22. The Lord calls upon those in charge of his work in Southern California to have their eyes anointed with the heavenly eye salve. This is their only safety. I am astonished that our brethren should have thought of purchasing the property on Hill Street. After I had seen its situation, I knew that I could not for a moment give my consent to the establishment there of an institution of any kind. To establish an institution for the advancement of God's work in such a place would be contrary to the light that God has given regarding this work. Think of the annoyance to which the workers would be subjected in such a location. How long would they, with an immense hotel right beside them, be allowed to keep the Sabbath in peace? For us to establish a sanitarium, there would be like Lot going into Sodom. It would be worse, because as far as the outward surroundings of Sodom were concerned, it was like the Garden of Eden. But on the Hill Street property there is no spare land, and no opportunity to see the beauties of nature. The erection of the bakery in Los Angeles was premature. The work was not ready for it. If the eyes of the brethren had been anointed with the heavenly eye salve, they would not have done that which they have done. The erection of so large a bakery building, and the carrying forward of the work planned, meant the investment of means and skill that were not at their command. God's people are not to go forward blindly in the investment of means that they have not, and know not where to obtain. We must show wisdom in the movements that we make. Christ has laid before us the plan upon which his work is to be conducted. Those who desire to build must first sit down and count the cost, to see whether they are able to carry the building to completion. Before they begin to carry out their plans, they must advise with wise counselors. If one worker, failing to reason from cause to effect, is in danger of making unwise moves, his fellow workers are to speak words of wisdom to him, showing him where he is in error. God sees the end from the beginning. He would have no buildings erected for our work except by the united judgment of the workers, and the brethren sharing the responsibilities. These are to become satisfied that their plans are in harmony with the will of the Lord. Let the counsels of our people be conducted with a view to earnest, aggressive work. But let not a stone be laid in the building up of new plans until there is a complete understanding among the workers. In such matters, individual responsibility is not in the order of God. Some of the movements that have been made in the work in Southern California have not been inspired by God, and these movements have left a shadow on the work. But the mistakes that have been made may work out for good if they are accepted as showing the need of all being interested in the work of God and the manner of its advancement. The work in all its branches is to be carried forward in a way that will recommend its existence. The Lord calls upon the workers in Southern California to come into line, and to make no movements that will hinder him in working in accordance with his own purposes. We must wait for the Lord, and learn from him how to advance the work in Southern California. We are not to make hurried movements, but wait in patience until the Lord prepares the way before us. I am told that Dr. Kellogg advised the brethren to go ahead and build in the city of Los Angeles. But did he not know that the Lord has given instruction in regard to the need of getting out of the cities? As far as possible, our institutions should be located away from the cities. We must have workers for these institutions, and if they are located in the city, that means that families of our people must settle near them. But it is not God's will that his people shall settle in the cities, where there is constant turmoil and confusion. Their children should be spared this, for the whole system is demoralized by the hurry and rush and noise. The Lord desires His people to move into the country, where they can settle on the land, and raise their own fruit and vegetables, and where their children can be brought in direct contact with the works of God in nature. Take your families away from the cities, is my message. The truth must be spoken, whether men will hear, or whether men will forbear. The cities are filled with temptation. We should plan our work in such a way as to keep our young people as far as possible from this contamination. The cities are to be worked from outposts, said the messenger of God. Shall not the cities be warned? Yes, not by God's people living in them, but by their visiting them, to warn them of what is coming upon the earth. Our restaurants will have to be in the cities. In regard to these restaurants, I am instructed to say that too much of an effort is being made to have one large restaurant in a city. It would be more in the order of the Lord to have several smaller ones. He desires a work to be done for those who are served. The sowing of the seeds of truth, not the obtaining of a large number of patrons, is to be the first consideration. Numbers is no true evidence of success. The words were spoken. Do not flatter yourselves that because a large number come each day to the restaurant, you are making great advancement in the work. What are you doing to save souls? You gather in a large company, and then feed them at too low a price. You employ your helpers at too low a price. What encouragement have they that they are doing God's service? Our instructor turned to the men in charge of the Los Angeles restaurant and said, Do you realize that your work is weighed in the balances and found wanting? It is no evidence, because you feed a large number every day, that you are accomplishing the greatest good. Would it not be well to have a fewer number and then work for their salvation by well-defined methods? Boast not of numbers. Where are the souls that have been led to feel an interest in present truth? What of your helpers? Are they becoming indifferent in regard to the truth? If they are, and if no effort is being made to give spiritual help to them and to those who come each day for meals, the business might better be carried on by unbelievers, for this would not exert so strong an influence against the truth. My brethren, carry on your work in a way that will fortify souls against temptation, rather than leading them into temptation. I have always looked with great interest upon the work in Los Angeles and in San Diego, hoping that right moves would be made, and that the sanitarium work might be established in these important places. Every year large numbers of tourists visit these places, and I have longed to see men moved by the Holy Spirit meeting these people with the message borne by John the Baptist. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 3 verse 2. The Lord has ordained that memorials for him shall be established in many places. He has presented before me buildings away from the cities, and suitable for our work, which can be purchased at a low price. We must take advantage of the favorable openings for sanitarium work in Southern California, where the climate is so favorable for this work. It is the Lord's purpose that sanitariums shall be established in Southern California, and that from these institutions shall go forth the light of truth for this time. By them the claims of the true Sabbath are to be presented, and the third angel's message proclaimed. Institutions in which medical missionary work can be done are to be regarded as especially essential to the advancement of the Lord's work. The sick and suffering are to be relieved, and then, as opportunity offers, they are to be given instruction in regard to the truth for this time. Thus we can bring present truth before a class of people who could be reached in no other way. There is a special work to be done at this time, a work of great importance. Light has been given me that a sanitarium should be established near Los Angeles, in some rural district. For years the need of such an institution has been kept before our people in Southern California. Had the brethren there heeded the warnings given by the Lord, to guard them from making mistakes, they would not now be tied up as they are. But they have not followed the instruction given. They have not gone forward in faith to establish a sanitarium near Los Angeles. The buildings secured for this work should be out of the cities, in the country, so that the sick may have the benefit of outdoor life. By the beauty of flower and field, their minds will be diverted from themselves, from their aches and pains, and they will be led to look from nature to the God of nature, who has provided so abundantly the beauties of the natural world. The convalescent can lie in the shade of the trees, and those who are stronger can, if they wish, work among the flowers, doing just a little at first, and increasing their efforts as they grow stronger. Working in the garden, gathering flowers and fruit, listening to the birds praising God, the patients will be wonderfully blessed. Angels of God will draw near to them. they will forget their sorrows. Melancholy and depression will leave them. The fresh air and sunshine, and the exercise taken, will bring them life and vitality. The weary brain and nerves will find relief. Good treatment and a wholesome diet will build them up and strengthen them. They will feel no need for health-destroying drugs or for intoxicating drink. It is the purpose of God that a sanitarium shall be established at some suitable place near Los Angeles. This institution is to be managed carefully and faithfully by men who have clear spiritual discernment and who have, also, financial ability. Men who can carry the work forward successfully as faithful stewards. We are to labor under the counsel of the great master workman. In his strength, human beings can and will follow a course of action that will win souls to Christ. Earnest work should be done in establishing a sanitarium near Los Angeles. For a long time, our people in Southern California have had messages from the Lord that there should be sanitariums near Los Angeles. For a long time, we have seen the importance of having a sanitarium established near Los Angeles. The Lord has often instructed me that we should avail ourselves of providential opportunities to secure buildings suitable for sanitarium work in favorable locations away from the cities. I have been shown that the city districts of such places as Los Angeles are unsuitable for special sanitarium work. This was pointed out very clearly at the time the workers in Los Angeles were planning, a few years ago, to build a large sanitarium in one of the very busiest and noisiest parts of the city. The light given to me at that time was, away from the cities. I was shown that if we would watch and search, we should find suitable properties and retired localities.